Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, George McLeod, John Lichty, Joey Devine, Blue Edwards, Roy Marble, Sean Keane, Kenny Battle, Patreon listeners, Sean Hyken, Simon Cott, Scott Carter Eldred, Kevin Deanan. Thank you, Patreons. Musical guest, Quasi. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of Round Ball Rock, and we are back with another episode of America's dumbest NBA podcast, Round Ball Rock. And as always, I am joined by my temporary co-host, Sean Keane. Permanent co-host, Sean Keane. I'm the temporary host. Sean cannot be fired. It is in his contract.
It's true. It's true. I'm like a keystone. I think that somehow my lawyer got me like embedded. Like they have to dissolve the whole podcast if I'm fired.
Yeah, we actually have it in the podcast that if we break up, you get to keep touring as Round Ball Rock, and I have to as Round Ball Rock too.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. I had a really good lawyer, and then he fired me.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Your lawyer was actually Creedence Clearwater Revival's lawyer. Before we get started, just a couple of things. We are on Patreon. If you feel like supporting, if you listen to the podcast, you'd like to support it from your wallet, you can do that there at patreon.com/roundrockpod. But if you can't do that, there are free ways to support the podcast. One, you could give us 5-star reviews, which it's weird that podcasts only are allowed to give you 5 stars, even if you don't like the podcast, but that's how it goes. Only 5-star reviews in this everyone gets a trophy millennial bullshit world we live in. And 5-star reviews, download, tell your friends, tweet at us at roundrockpod, email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com, or call us on the phone that is, of course, in the description of this episode. That's pretty much everything, right? I did it.
No, you did. You did the business. You definitely did.
How was your day, Sean?
It was all right. I taught some swim lessons today, and then I did a show.
Oh, cool. Lots of torpedoes. Some turtle floats.
There were only three, so it was more like, please don't cry because people are splashing.
Mm.
Also, don't jump in when I'm not looking because you will drown.
Yeah, you get to teach them how to turtle float, dude.
Yeah.
That's the number one. That's the first thing. All right. As for my day, today was uneventful, but yesterday, Sean, I saw something incredible.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was at Universal Studios Hollywood. I'm a season pass holder. It's a brag. It's definitely a brag. It was only $10 more than a regular ticket, so I went with the season pass. I'm going to see in the month of January, which is the one with the least blackout dates, how many times in a month I can ride the Mummy.
And I asked you about this, but I feel like I should ask you on the podcast to clarify, not the Tom Cruise film that was going to launch the Monster Cinematic Universe.
No, it's Brendan Fraser's Mummy.
Well, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The Tom Cruise Mummy is troubling.
Anyway, the Mummy rules, if you haven't been, it's like Space Mountain. It's a dark coaster. And it has a fun surprise where you think the ride ends. I'm spoiling it. You think the ride ends. And then you go, it very quickly shoots you back through the roller coaster backwards.
Oh, hell yeah. That rules.
It's really fun. Yeah, the Mummy rules.
Is that better than the Mummy films?
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
By the way, that is some water park shit, by the way. The season pass that is only $10 more than a daily admission.
But I'm not here to talk about the Mummy. Although, again, strong recommendation. Love the Mummy roller coaster. What I do want to talk about is I rode the Harry Potter ride. And a sweet trick if you're going to a... Universal Studios as an adult, you can cut a lot of the line out if you get in the single rider line. So I was in the single rider line, for the Harry Potter ride, and guess who got on the car in front of me, Sean?
Sirius Black.
Anthony fucking Davis,
oh,
dude.
Shit! Outside of the Potterverse entirely.
Uh-huh. Who quit Team USA today. Mm-hmm. And I could have told you guys no fucking shit, because he was not in Las Vegas yesterday. He was riding the fucking Harry Potter ride in Universal Studios Hollywood.
Yeah, he's not joining the basketball World Cup. He's doing the Quidditch Cup.
And I gotta tell you, Sean, seeing a person that tall get on a ride is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life. That ride is not built for 7-footers. It's built for 12-year-olds. His head was sticking way out. They had to tell him to lift his feet up, because your feet kind of dangle on it.
My God. What if, Joey, can I give you a hypothetical? Mm-hmm. I'm glad he's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm happy he's okay. I wasn't even worried until you said that. But what if Anthony Davis had been knocked out for the season because of like a slightly inattentive attendant at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter? And that ruined the end of LeBron's career.
Like a Final Destination 3 situation?
Yeah, absolutely.
It would be sad because he was there with a large group of children.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I know this because we got off the ride at the same time. Uh-huh. And for those of you that have been to a fancy theme park, you know that rides exit at gift shops now. You have to go through a gift shop.
Well, that was what Banksy demanded.
Yeah. What was the fake Banksy in that movie?
Oh, yeah, what is the fake Banksy? I'm going to look it up. But,
That weird French man. Anyway, he was asking the children what his favorite part, their favorite parts of the ride was. He seemed very nice.
Invader is his name.
That was not his name. It was something even dumber.
The street artist?
It was something even dumber. No, it was Mr. Something.
There's a lot of really dumb names in this movie now that I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. Mr. Brainwash.
Yeah, Mr. Brainwash. That's what it was.
That name.
Yeah.
All
right, but I tried to take a selfie for the Discord,
yes,
for our Patreon listeners.
Not for the public.
No. But
yeah, for the
which
real
again is available for only $3 a month. You can be in an entire group of Roundball what the fuckers.
You're basically stealing. Yeah.
And it was not a selfie like I'm bothering Anthony Davis. You know what I mean? I was trying to sneak do it, you know, where you take a selfie of yourself, but really you're taking a picture of the thing in the background, which, again, I don't normally do stuff like that, but it was for the Patreon. His VIP Universal Studios concierge guy, who looked like Jim Boylan, screamed at me. He yelled, "Put your damn phone away!
Put your damn phone away!"
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was because, yeah, you know, L.A. is Anthony Davis town now.
Yeah.
And Clippers aren't allowed to drink coffee.
Yeah. If it was Kawhi Leonard, he would have let me, like,
he would have been like, "I'll hold
him.
His arms
yeah.
for you."
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Here, get his wallet. This is Laker Town. They're all Slytherins. Yeah, that's man. Well, I wish you had gotten a picture with him, because you're actually extremely good at getting pictures with people in general, I would say.
I am?
Jerry West, you have a picture with Frankie Muniz, like a lot of the podcast heroes.
I have a picture. I had a picture with Brian Colangelo. I don't know what happened to that one.
Man,
I wish I still had that one. It's probably
with a ref.
What? Yeah. Oh, Joey Crawford. Yeah, Joey I have a picture Crawford. With. Well, that was when Summer League
the
was
greatest Joey's in NBA history,
and I'm wearing that Joe Johnson shirt.
Oh,
it's the three greatest Joeys.
What, you know, by the way, Joey has an amazing Joe Johnson t-shirt, which was bought at a Nets team store clearance sale.
Mm-hmm.
You can still get highly discounted Joe Johnson and Deron Williams merch from the Nets team store. Mikhail Prokhorov overordered.
Well,
he overestimated the success of that team.
Well, we should actually talk about that because we don't have it on the rundown.
Oh, okay.
But LeBron James is not allowed to change his number.
Oh, it's
for
so
that
good.
Exact reason. You saw and, that, right?
Yeah, is it that Nike overestimated the demand for the 23 LeBron jersey?
No, it's they have to print so many for the season that they have to start printing them like 4 months before the season starts.
Oh, that's right. So they started in like March.
Yeah, he has to put the number change in by April.
Okay. Wow, and so that's why.
But meanwhile, if he were like Omari Spellman or whatever, it doesn't even matter. But because LeBron James Laker jerseys are so popular, they just would lose all of their money.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, they wouldn't lose all their money. I mean, that's ridiculous, but you know what I mean. It would be so prohibitively expensive.
So Anthony Davis is going to be number three for his lone year in Los Angeles. And do you think that was because it was like LeBron sending a subtle message to Banana Boat Captain Chris Paul? You're not welcome in Los Angeles unless you want to be like CP11.
I'm actually looking this up. Who are other LA Laker number threes?
Oh, interesting. Because there's a lot of the Lakers do not have as many retired numbers as the Celtics, but they have a lot.
How do we look this up? LA.
Oh, Basketball Reference. You can do it.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. So it's not, three is not retired.
Of course not.
Obviously. Obviously Kobe got two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not all that many for the Lakers. I was wrong about that.
No, they're pretty,
the Celtics have a shit ton. The Lakers have 11 retired numbers, and two of them are Kobe's.
Yeah, right, and two of them will be LeBron's.
Yeah.
He should wear three numbers.
Is he switching to six? He hasn't said, right?
No, he said six. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But it would be really funny if, look, and again, I'm not wishing harm on anyone, but what if LeBron, like, has a back problem or something, and he switches to six, and he's just, like, pretty disappointing as six mm-hmm. for 2 years. And they're still like, we were going to retire him, but, you know, we did lose in the first round
that you 1 year. There are very few number threes. Three?
Well, it's Isaiah Thomas's number.
Well, no, I mean for the Lakers.
I'm just looking at the
Lakers.
Oh,
sorry.
Right, so I wasn't Sedale, there yet. It's Sedale Three's uh-huh. number. It's Devin George's number. Mm-hmm. It was Trevor Ariza's number for
but
a season.
Only a year, yeah.
Devin Ebanks for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a priority number. Isaiah Thomas, somehow Josh Hart had it for 2019, but not the previous year.
Yeah, because Isaiah Thomas was wearing it, I guess. Or Corey Brewer. Corey Brewer had it.
He must have given up five to someone else, is my guess. But I'm not sure who that is.
Tyson who, Chandler.
Oh, that's I guess. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, he gave up his five and he took three for Tyson Chandler. I think that's what it is.
Okay, but we're getting confused because the listeners are not looking at this list right
I'm
now.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So Anthony Davis, I'm going to say with a fair amount of confidence, he has an excellent chance of being the greatest number three in Lakers.
He already is.
He basically
it's him then Devin George.
I think Trevor Ariza is the best three right now.
Right, but he only wore it for a season in 2008, the 2008-2009 season.
Right, it is a championship season, though.
Of course. Yeah, but I just mean like.
Well, I mean he.
He has a history. Lakers fans probably think of him as a different number or whatever that was on the Lakers. You know what I mean?
Right. Because it's like, yeah, what was Trevor Ariza's number? Was he only three? Well, he was only on the Lakers for a year and a half, actually.
That's weird. I think of him as a much longer tenured Laker.
Absolutely. Well, it's because he went to UCLA, I think.
Well, and Lakers fans love Trevor Ariza way more than a guy who was there for a year.
That is absolutely true. Even though, like, when they lost him, it was to get Ron Artest, mm-hmm. who they
won
probably
them in the
wouldn't
Western
have won
Conference
the title
finals.
Without, yeah. I'm going to say. I think if they'd had Trevor Ariza, they wouldn't have beaten the Celtics.
I don't know.
So,
well,
yes,
if they have Trevor Ariza, they don't beat the Suns. Because I love Trevor Ariza. I'm not sure he's standing under the basket there for no reason like Ron Artest is.
Yeah. That's you need to be a little bit crazy to win a title. And I mean that in fully supporting his efforts towards mental health.
So our friend Julian Rodriguez pointed out something incredible about LeBron James number changing story, which is that Ron Artest, Meta World Peace himself, somehow was sane enough to put the paperwork in to change his number every year by a date. And that is mind boggling.
Well, and that's like better than LeBron. LeBron James had clearly not sufficient confidence in Rob Pelinka and Anthony Davis going there, because that would have been like the baller move to be like, I'm going to six. And LeBron could have even hedged it and just been like, you know what?
like six is my, is that his high school number? Is that the reason he goes for six? I don't care. But that's a no confidence vote that Anthony Davis is going to be there, because if he thought in April that these guys were going to get it done, clearly he did not have faith in the power couple running the Los Angeles Lakers, Linda Rambis and her husband.
Don't forget that bus related person who posts on Reddit. That nephew.
Oh, right. That nephew who was like, why do the Lakers book it? Also, why don't all these brown people come back, go back to their old country? Oh, shit. Same account. Fuck. It was a rough July for semi-authoritative LA basketball sources, Joey, who are also like teenagers. But
I don't want to pile onto that guy.
I'm not piling on anyone else. I don't care enough. I'm just saying it's weird that the Lakers objectively were pretty successful, and yet Lakers Twitter is so intense that like lives were still ruined.
All right. Should we talk some reader mail?
Yeah, let's do some reader mail. Let's just blow through these. We aggressively solicited reader mail questions because the Discord is popping off so hard that sometimes some of the best questions we miss because like everything's popping off all the time.
Well, no, but I also put that there specifically just as an easy place for people to ask us questions. Jeez. I wasn't like soliciting it specifically for today.
No. I'm just saying, we finally got our shit together and are like, let's make these questions count.
Anyway, let's do reader mail.
This is Round Ball Rock reader mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right. Our first question comes from our main man. Number one fan, the first fan of Round Ball Rock, Dubberoo. And he asks Sean and Joey, how many bananas are in a bushel? And to that I respond, who do I look like? Harry fucking Belafonte? Google it, Dubberoo.
Yeah, seriously, man. What? Okay, so yeah, you tally me, banana bitch. Okay, sorry, Dubberoo. Dubberoo, apparently, I don't know if I can spread this outside the Discord, but apparently was taken to the vet as a child when he was sick.
We don't need to talk about other.
No, you're right. You're right.
This
you're
is
right.
A free episode.
Yeah,
if people want that, if people want that kind of content, they can,
it's $3 a month minimum.
Yeah, they can give us $3 a month. I don't think bananas come in bushels, though, by the way.
Yeah, they're bunches.
Yeah.
Well, and they're measured in hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
According to the Banana Boat song.
Well, sure. Anyway, we're moving on.
Yeah.
Queen Ozymandias asks, when will my husband return from war? And the answer is never, until the capitalist society has been crushed.
Yeah,
which does I assume not seem to...
I thought this was about Yusuf Nurkic.
Anyway, I'm officially closing the reader mail section of the Discord because what are you guys
not
doing
taking
here?
It seriously? Come on.
El Hafnero, finally a real question, asks, how many secret families is J.J. Redick aiming for?
This is a great question, because we'd been working from the assumption that he had two.
One in Philadelphia and one in Brooklyn, because he played in Philadelphia and lived in Brooklyn.
Which are not really commute. Well, also the fact that he drove between them seemed insane. Like, the only reason that works is
take
you can
train,
hop on
bud.
A train. Yeah. But when you're, anyway, you you don't have enough mobility in case the heat comes on if you don't have a personal vehicle. So I get it in a Secret Family context. So just some background. It's his fifth NBA city, but he has lived in a sixth NBA city. Him going to New Orleans this year, I mean.
Uh-huh.
There was recently a crazy article about the intense rivalries and infighting at an elite Brooklyn preschool. Thanks to Corbin A. Smith for tipping us off to this, which J.J. Redick's wife, I wish I had her first name handy. I apologize. Anyway, big part of all the shenanigans.
Excuse me, I did not read this.
Oh, he... it was a very... It was all about like how the Redick family had moved to Brooklyn. And that was a big part of some very aggressive preschool administrator, like cleaning house. And
Reddicks into the kindergarten?
No, it was like tangential. But part of it was that the new disruptive force had marshaled the power of Chelsea Redick to it's a Brooklyn Heights preschool. You can read it on thecut.com.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it's a very long article. It's pretty funny, but it's
about the Reddicks good guys or bad guys in this story?
I would say that Chelsea Redick is considered a bit of a bad guy.
I knew it.
She is not like explicitly saying anything, but she's like the
right. So she's not full on Samantha Bee. Why are black kids at my charter school.
No, okay. It's more that she's able to raise so much money at the preschool fundraiser that she has more power than any single preschool mom should have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so she's the Buddy Garrity of this preschool.
She is the Buddy Garrity of it. And again, Buddy Garrity, not necessarily a force for good or evil.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, I mean, her husband is with his other wife most of the time, so she's got to find
money for this preschool. Anyway, we should probably acknowledge what R. Safford.
Oh, we'll get there. That's a second question, I think, because I have a different answer for his question.
Okay, so how many secret families is he aiming for? I think he wants seven.
I think he's at two. Now.
Oh, you think he's only at two? Well, okay, then I guess I would say he wants three. Like that's his specialty, you know? Three families, three pointers. Yeah.
I think he wants one family and not a secret one. I think we're gonna learn he's choosing a family this summer.
Oh, that's great. Now, is it like what family will follow him to New Orleans?
No, we'll know which city he chooses to live in and commute to New Orleans from.
What if he like decides to move to Houston? but his Brooklyn family stays there because of their dedication to the school.
Sean, he did live in Austin before he lived in Brooklyn. Don't forget.
I mean, that's like, if you're already going Philly to Brooklyn, is Austin to New Orleans that unreasonable?
I imagine it is, but
I think it's really far between those things. Every like geographical question I have about Texas is always like, no, it's way further than you think, Sean. Especially because he doesn't like trains. He's gonna drive. He needs to be by himself so he has time to plot, get his story straight. All right, the driving distance between, hold on, let me give you a driving estimate between the Big Easy and Austin.
It's going to be like
it's
6 hours.
It's an 8-hour drive.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
An 8-hour drive. It is really
but
far.
But how far is that in, like, it's not, that's only like an hour plane ride, you know what I mean? I bet Southwest flies it.
There is a nonstop flight. It's only an hour 20.
Yeah.
And there's five per day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Yep. So now, do you think he's going to relocate his secret family to Austin, or do you think he just still has one?
I think he's going to disown one of the families. I'm just not sure which one. It's going to be real sad. All right.
Dramatic year in New Orleans.
Let's ask our let's ask this other JJ question, Sean.
Yeah. Okay. Here, I'll read it. This is from R. Safford. You guys made a joke about JJ having a second family like Lone Star, but what if he's doing the second family thing more like acclaimed FX drama The Americans? I editorialized a little bit in that sentence. Dude went from Dwight Howard to Blake Griffin to Embiid and Simmons, and now, quote unquote, volunteers to go to New Orleans to play with Zion. Could JJ Redick be the NBA Philip Jennings? Just biding his time studying these generational big men, sending secrets back to question marks in hopes of winning some invisible Cold War. I mean, this is kind of an incredible insight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also curious. I'm going to look up what the Bucks roster had, because that was a weird trade when he went to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. You know,
it was to make the playoffs one for one season.
Right. And they gave up Tobias Harris to do it, who, I mean, I understand that that's a crazy, Scott Skiles is a madman, but I think, here's what I'm going to say. I think they were maybe betting big on John Henson at that point. A rookie John Henson still had a lot of hope in his heart. And that was the guess. Yeah. Or Larry Sanders. And it just didn't work. They were like, these guys aren't going to make it. JJ, you need to help Blake and DeAndre.
I have a different idea.
Okay.
I think Coach K is sending him to try and help Jahlil Okafor.
Oh.
And Jahlil Okafor is refusing the help every time.
Oh, that...
It is like the Americans, where Coach K is Russia.
When that's Duke University.
Yeah, and they're trying to recover Jahlil Okafor to do whatever he's supposed to be doing.
Well, you know that
he's on the run.
Well, you know that Pelicans team has like five Duke players now. It's like Okafor, Zion. Others, I don't care. I really don't. But yeah. If there's an evil empire right now in basketball, that is the closest thing to like 1982 Russia that we have.
Because yeah, he sent him to Philadelphia.
Uh huh.
And Jahlil ran.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's chasing him to New Orleans.
Well, and you know, I think he waited until Jahlil re-upped, and then he's like, "Yeah, I'm here too now. Get it together, dude.
We won't get fooled again.
Been off the reservation, yeah." Yeah, I believe it.
All right, our friend Moses asks, "Which NBA players are most into snuff films?"
I saw this in the notes. What I like about this question is the word most. You know what I mean? Like there's a snuff film community, but that some guys stand head and shoulders above them. I believe the answer is Hassan Whiteside.
I think he's too... Do Faces of Death count as snuff films?
That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking like he's like a driver. He's not like an 8mm guy just because he doesn't have the savvy to find that.
He couldn't get him. That was exactly why I said if it's Faces of Death, yes, it's definitely Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah, like he has like Red Asphalt on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But like an actual guy who's like getting into the deep Nicolas Cage underbelly. Because I gotta say, I think it's a white guy, Joey. I'm not trying to be racist here.
I also was like, maybe it's a Zeller.
Yeah. if it is, it's Tyler. It's not Cody. But yeah, who has like a friend named Stick, you know?
Well, no, because you don't need a friend named Stick anymore. You just need the dark web.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So, yeah, like the
who is most likely to be on Pirate Bay or whatever? Not Pirate Bay.
The tech version of the Silk Road. Right. Okay, so that's a good framework, because you have to know that it's somebody who would be on like a shady buying drugs, contract killing type site.
You know what? Yeah. I'm going to say a weird one, but I think it's Shaquille O'Neal, Sean.
Oh, my God. Well, because he does have that experience with cybercrime.
He's a cop.
Yeah.
But he's a cop, so for sure he knows about Silk Road. And if you've read the Silk Road book, a lot of those cops fall deep into the Silk Road and start doing contract killings for the guy and stealing bitcoins.
And what's crazy is he is emblematic of everyone who moved into San Francisco in the last decade. I also kind of feel like Frank Kaminsky might know more than you'd think.
Frank Kaminsky, yeah, sure. I don't think he counts as an NBA player anymore, though.
No, that is true. But isn't he from, like, Dahmer country, too?
Probably, right?
Yeah. And Danny Ainge was like, I will trade 4 first-round picks for access to his archive of snuff films.
You know who has no idea how to get a snuff film?
Who's that?
Dante DiVincenzo. He'd probably be into watching one, but yeah. He does not know how to get them.
Yeah, all this. He's like, oh, you ever seen a snuff film? And his friends are like, you know, oh, no, but I got a pirate feed of that fight. And he's like, ah, good enough.
For some reason, I imagine Dante DiVincenzo's entire life basically being 8 Mile, you know?
Oh, I think of him as being like a lower tier friend of Will Hunting. And they're like after Will Hunting leaves town, they're like, what are we going to do? A smart guy's gone. And then they're like in a fight at the playground and Dante DiVincenzo's like, here's your fucking ball, and just throws it from half court and it goes in. And they're like, you're pretty good. And he's like, oh, yeah, you want this? You fucking mooks. And then like just starts draining threes and they're like, you're pretty good at that. And then there's another scene where Ben Affleck's like, my dream is that you're also not here when I come to show up and you're at practice. He's actually like a Bagger Vance figure, but just for like dumbass white guys. He's like, right. You have potential.
Another G. Dwallis, another great question from our man G. Dwallis sign. Mm-hmm. Who won the summer of toxic mombolinity?
I'm going to say that's a...
You got to do it as Bill Simmons, baby.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I got to say, it's been a big summer. The hot summer for the song of the summer was Toxic Mombolinity.
Ooh, I loved it. I had a bunch of millennials write about it. They Spotify'd it. I said, hey, can you burn that to a CD? I just got a CDR and I want to listen to it. I'm ignoring my CCs.
So, Bill, who won? The summer of toxic mombolinity.
I gotta go with an upset. It's TBD. There's a lot of mombolinity players circulating around the league. I would say it's the era of unfettered player movement / Tinder dating. That's catchy, right? Everybody wants to swipe right on a team. Everybody wants to swipe left on their responsibilities. And everybody wants to swipe down on winning a title, because no one's going to beat the Kawhi Leonard Paul George team. But when you talk about mombolinity, you got to talk about a guy who's like Kobe Bryant. You know what I mean, Bill?
I do know what you mean. You mean shoots 7 for 23 in a finals game?
It's 6 for 24. Don't give him more credit. He's already got his own ESPN show. What's that? I mean, it's not even animated. It's not a cute cartoon. That's what people wanted from ESPN. I'm getting a little, it's getting a little dusty in here for me thinking about my old cartoon.
Anyway, I think who won the summer of toxic mombolinity was the phrase I invented, pre-agency, which is one of the worst things I've ever heard.
Ooh, it feels toxic. It feels like I gotta get into a sauna with Chris Ryan. The world's oldest 39-year-old? How old is he? Is he overaged, underaged, or appropriately aged? Who knows?
All right, I've got one more question for you, Sean. Also, Bill.
Yes, other Bill.
It also comes from G. Dwallisign.
Yes.
So, what are your all-time toxic mombolinity teams? Although, Seeing as we're both Bills, there's a better way to do this. Bill, give me your Mount Rushmore of all-time toxic mambalinity.
Oh, I love toxic mambalinity.
I love Mount Rushmore.
I've never been there, but I imagine it's pretty great. Also, seas from Native American lands. Definitely the losers of the 19th century. There were winners, there were losers, but up there with the Confederacy were the indigenous peoples of the North American continent. Ooh, big losers. I gotta say, potentially one of those toxic mambalinity teams, if we get the sliding doors simulation we want, is the Miami Heat this year, if they can add Chris Paul to Jimmy Butler. Unfortunately, they jettisoned Hassan Whiteside, which is going to keep them from getting to the absolute pantheon. I think they're in the fourth tier of toxic mambalinity on my 72-tier pyramid of toxic mambalinity. Why don't they put that in Springfield, Massachusetts? But I gotta say, one of them has gotta be the 2010 Los Angeles Lakers, who defeated my beloved Boston Celtics thanks to the toxic mambalinity of Ron Artest and Kobe Bryant, the Mamba himself, and also Pau Gasol, who had some sneaky Spanish mambalinity to him. Mambalinteteo? Is that correct? Am I speaking a foreign language? What do you think, Foreign Bill?
Well, I think, for my taste, the all-time toxic mambalinity team is the cast of With Honors, the movie where Joe Pesci plays a homeless man who goes to Harvard.
Ooh, all right. My number three toxic mambalinity team.
I'm doing a rewatchables of With Honors. Sneaky. You got Brendan Fraser, underrated. Uh-huh. Moira Kelly, sneaky hot. Patrick Dempsey, overrated, and Josh Hamilton, underrated. Also, the great Gore Vidal.
Gore Vidal, oh my gosh, he's in my all-time 60s analytical tier of intellectual superiority. Oh, I felt bad just looking at his face. I was like, hey, I bartended at night while I was working for that website. You think you're better than me? He probably was better than me.
Anyway, back to other questions.
Yep, these were our questions.
All right, Sean. I'm going to be honest. I do not understand where this question comes from. So why don't you walk us through this?
So I just chose the final question, which is, does eating bull dick count as sex? Now,
the answer is very clearly no.
The answer is no. What this has to do with is that Kawhi Leonard managed to have like a relationship that is completely hidden to the public. I believe even to the San Antonio Spurs, who were surprised that he had a girlfriend at the point they threw him a baby shower. And I think the question was, it is hard to imagine Kawhi Leonard as a sexual being. I do not agree with that. I just think he's like very good at keeping his personal life personal.
Him saying "what it do, baby" is definitely a guy who's had a lot of sex.
Well, here's the thing, because this comes to Serge Ibaka's wonderful web series, which everyone should watch.
So comes from. Yes. Kawhi ate bull dick on Serge's cooking show. Okay.
He put it on a pizza. He reluctantly ate it. He was being a good teammate. But the actual relevant thing to Kawhi Leonard is that Serge Ibaka asked him a question, which was, who is your celebrity crush? And Kawhi's answer was like, it's not fair for me to list a celebrity crush because NBA players are not like other people. Because normally when you say you have your celebrity crush, it's like, this is purely in the realm of fantasy.
Right.
But Kawhi Leonard, in theory, could really date anyone. Mm-hmm. As a handsome 28-year-old two-time finals MVP. And Serge Ibaka acted surprised.
And that is why he didn't say his actual celebrity crush, which I know for a fact is Catherine O'Hara.
He loves Schitt's Creek. And then Serge Ibaka acted surprised, and Kawhi looked at him like, you know, you romanced R&B Shantus Carrie Hilson for years. And Serge Ibaka was like, oh, I don't even know. Also,
I was just confirming that he had actually dated Carrie Hilson to make sure I wasn't an idiot. And I found out, okay, so Joey, you know there's been some controversy about Serge Ibaka's age.
What?
So he is on paper, he's 29 years old. However, I did find out that Kawhi Leonard has a daughter who is at least 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm just saying that is maybe some evidence in favor of, look, he could be older than he claims. Or also,
you mean
just
Serge Ibaka has a daughter that's 13 years old?
Serge Ibaka has a daughter that's 13
years
old.
Sorry, I think you said Kawhi Leonard.
Sorry, yeah. Kawhi Leonard has a daughter who is like 3 years old.
Okay.
Yes, anyway, Serge Ibaka's daughter is 13 years old. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, he's got another year in his contract.
You know, he was in France. They get started
whatever,
young
that
there.
Guy rules. Whatever. Yeah. Or in the look, good for you, Serge.
Yeah. Keep it up, Mafuzi Chef. All right. That's been our question. Sorry, G. Dwalasine, we didn't really answer your question, but the answer is, of course, Jimmy Butler. He ended up living in Miami.
Yeah. like the capital of toxic mobility.
He does lose if Chris Paul comes there, though.
Do you feel like it is less Mambalinious?
Oh, that is the worst place to have Mambalinity, is on a team with Chris Paul.
Oh, I thought it like tripled up.
No. Because he becomes a loser then, because his Mambalinity locked him in Miami, and now he's got a
Now he has the
he's
the
got
worst
the ultimate Napoleon on him. Yeah.
I could not believe how rarely Chris Paul takes a shot that someone passed the ball to him for. It's like mind blowing. It's like 8% of his shots.
Well,
it's crazy.
All right. Let's go to the news.
Yeah.
Is this news or is this something else?
I think it's, you know, I thought it was news. It's something else, Joey.
Okay, let's go to Tillman time.
It's Tillman time. That's right. Texas Tillman, Trump supporter, state house man, and billionaire buyer. Houston Rockets motherfucker. Tillman time.
How does Tillman describe himself?
A motherfucker.
All I do is win, win, win. Tillman time.
All right, Sean, what's happening in the world of our man, the owner of the Houston Rockets, Tillman Fertitta?
I have to say, when we first started doing Tillman time, I thought it was a rare event that we would be doing Tillman time. Something happens with Tillman. It almost feels like when we record
daily.
A Tillman time, it forces Tillman to do something else.
Yeah, it
to
really
get ahead
does
of the Tillman
way.
Time journalism.
Like,
anyway,
we did a Tillman time on Friday, and who did the Rockets sign? It was somebody totally ridiculous.
Oh, it was Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, former first round
pick Anthony Bennett, derailed by obesity and like sleep apnea and exercise induced asthma.
Mm-hmm.
Again, something you'd think you'd vet before devoting the first pick in the draft, whatever. But Tillman himself individually got fined by the NBA.
Which, you know what? I side with Tillman on this one. This one is stupid. This is dumb as hell.
because I still don't really understand what he did wrong here. Because
the trade hadn't gone through yet.
I mean, I guess.
Officially, like the league paperwork. You know how it takes 2 days or whatever?
Right.
So he commented on how tight Russell Westbrook is, like the 10 minutes after they got traded, because the man loves a camera. He can't stop talking to the press.
He can't stop throwing, like, a weird Cinco de Mayo party in November.
That he has a three-person press conference outside of. The man sees a reporter. He's stepping out of wherever he is and giving an impromptu press conference like feet from the door of where he is. It's never inside where he actually is.
No, it's always
against a weird wall. It's in a hallway.
hot.
He's wearing like a white dress shirt that's unbuttoned to his nipples. It's very weird. He's a weird guy. I hate him.
Here, let me throw this out here, Joey. Daryl Morey, look, they need to fill out that roster in Houston. Uh-huh. But what he really needs to be pushing for is for some streaming service to renew $1 billion buyer.
So he'll get the fuck out of town for a while.
Just like it's something. Because he's not working. He's always free.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know if we need to read this quote, Joey.
Yeah,
that he
just
fine.
Said that he didn't say anything. He was like, we're going to miss Chris Paul, but I love Russell Westbrook. He's so athletic. I used to love him. And then he got fined.
$25,000.
Yeah. My question is, though.
Similar take to what Joey took out of that machine, but yeah.
My question for you, though, Sean, is so now... Now that he's been fined, sorry, my mic fell over, $25,000, who's getting fired to pay for this fine?
Oh, my God. This is, I think it's like an assistant trainer at this point. The coaching staff has been decimated to the point where he can't fire anyone else. I think it's like some low-level staffer who makes exactly $25,000. So, like, an intern on the training staff, I think.
Like a lead ball boy?
Yeah. But whoever most recently qualified for health insurance.
My next question. So, Andre Iguodala is on the block.
Yes.
And, the rumor is the Rockets want to trade for him, but they're afraid to trade for him because they don't want to pay the luxury tax. Andre Iguodala, what are the chances he becomes a Rocket?
After this fine, like 5%.
I think it's 0%, dude. Unless it means giving up Capella to get him.
Right. If you're Memphis... Take Clint Capella in that deal,
just
I would say.
Just ask for Clint Capella.
Yeah, nothing else makes any sense for Memphis.
Well, I mean, they can get two picks for him.
Can they?
Yeah.
How many picks are left?
Well, the Rockets only traded 4 picks, but 2 of them were swaps.
Oh, okay.
So
they
can get up to 3 picks if Oklahoma taught us anything, right?
And they have a Warriors pick. They could get 2 picks for just renting Andre Iguodala, which Daryl Morey's probably just like furious about, just being at the sucker end of that transaction, just on principle, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's it with Tillman time. Let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News, basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. Speaking of fines, Mark Cuban got fined $50,000. Do you want to talk about what happened here?
Yeah. So the Board of Governors meets, which is just the owners. I don't know why they did, or what are they trying to change the word owners to? Stakeholders, something like that.
It's like
whatever,
benefactors or something like that.
Yeah. Like something Mark Cuban thought of that's not going to catch on, just like his reality show
and Cyberdust.
Yeah. So they were talking about whether they should allow coaches challenges or not, and Mark Cuban just like straight up texted a reporter, like leaked it while the discussion was going on.
Well, that's not what happened, though. You've got to walk this backwards.
Sorry.
He did do that. Sorry, he did do that. But so the NBA find out? This is the best part.
Yeah. So they haven't even voted yet, I believe, on, you know, coaches being able to challenge instant replays. A terrible development, but we're not talking about that right now. And then Vivek Ranadive, the owner, firebrand owner of the Sacramento Kings, complained because he's like, how are people reporting on this thing we haven't even voted yet? Because of his complaint, Mark Cuban was fined $50,000.
That's for sick. Look, I'm anti-snitches, but pro-snitching on Mark Cuban.
Yeah. And Mark Cuban had the most butthurt quote afterwards, uh-huh. which was, I appreciate the irony of your reporting on a fine that someone should but won't get fined for leaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say, Mark Cuban hates whistleblowers.
Wow, I can't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the
so surprising
guy leading the dirtiest frat house in the NBA yeah. is mad at the Panhellenic Council for levying sanctions after a pledge died. Right? Isn't he just like the most evil frat vice president ever?
I mean, I feel like yes, but I almost feel like frats are more benevolent than what the Mavericks were.
Right. They're more like they're like an offshoot of the Klan that didn't commit any murders. Or like a slightly nicer sex cult, but that people didn't sign up to join.
Earl Sneed was really bad. He's not funny like Pants DJ, who's also really, really bad. You know what I mean?
But that's that is more akin to a fraternity thing. But Earl Sneed is like a really bad criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a guy who beat up multiple women he was in relationships with. Very cool.
And Mark Cuban's like, but he still plays beer pong, right?
But he said sorry.
He's cool. He's in, like, I don't wear a suit. He doesn't apologize. We're kind of the same kind of maverick. You know, scammed Yahoo out of billions of dollars because I figured out how to pirate legitimate broadcasts. And I've had 7 facelifts, and I slap hands with people at Summer League. Bro?
All right. Ben Simmons signed an extension, Sean.
Yeah.
5 years, $170 million.
Mm-hmm.
That is 2 pro NBA contracts and 0 uh-huh. career 3-pointers.
Amazing.
He's hit more. He's hit 1, right? Is he really at 0 3-pointers for his career?
I looked it up and I think it's 0. I'll look.
I think he hit 1.
Not even
like a buzzer beater, just like throw it up there. Yeah, that hasn't gone in.
I mean, you would for sure think, I'm going to look at his totals. He is 0-17 for his NBA career.
Wow, that's not good.
I can't even believe he's taken 17, to be honest. It was 11 his rookie year. I mean, his quote unquote rookie year, Team Mitchell. and he took 6 last year of his 960 field goal attempts. 6 were threes. And I'm going to guess. Oh, you know what? He has taken only 9. The only reason he has, he took 11 his rookie year was that 8 of them were heaves.
Right.
So he's taken 9 real 3-pointers ever.
That's what I was saying. I assumed a heave had gone in.
He didn't even take any heaves last year, though. He was pretty.
He started doing the LeBron thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't realize his points per game went down a lot last year.
There is something I want to talk about with this Ben Simmons contract, though.
Yeah.
The Sixers told him they wouldn't sign the extension unless he promised them that he wouldn't play for Team Australia and that he'd stay in Philadelphia and work on his game.
Yes.
And I got to say, fucking fuck that shit. Elton Brand, you should know better.
Well, I felt the same way about this, Joey, but he has not played for Team Australia in 6 years.
So what? Like,
I mean, I agree, but I just think that was some klutz sports. Like, oh, no, I guess he won't go back to Australia and play with the national team when he I don't know if he was ever really gonna do that. You know what I mean?
I don't care about the playing for Team Australia part. I care about the staying in Philadelphia to work on his game part that I think sucks.
It does. That's just saying.
Some straight up Andrew Wiggins has to shake my hand and promise me he's gonna work harder bullshit.
Look, I don't disagree with that. I just think it was bullshit on both sides. That's all.
Yeah,
I think
saying.
That Australia is not I think Ben Simmons is not particularly interested in the nation of Australia.
Sure, but if he wanted to go there, he should be allowed to.
I know. But also, the other flip side of this is I was like, wow, damn, 5 years, $170 million. And then I'm like, he could demand a trade next summer. Like, mm-hmm. And like, would it, you know, because it's the era of, okay, me agency.
Yeah, NBA players, it's twin. It's like Snapchat. They only want to stay on a team for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
They also want to show the GMs the pictures of the dick.
All right. Chris Paul.
Yes.
Is having a real bad month, dude.
you know what, Joey? I feel like I'm like basking in it. Like I'm not really tweeting about Chris Paul, but sometimes I'll just be driving or something and I'll think about Chris Paul and I'm like, yeah, that's right.
So, CP3, according to Ethan Sherwood Strauss, people think Chris Paul is a terrible union president.
Mm-hmm, because he is.
So one veteran player said, quote, they advocate for the interests of max players and super max players. Basically, the CBA has helped the whole banana boat crew from back in the day. It's taken from the mid-level. I think middle-tier players aren't getting that mid-level money anymore. I think just that huge Supermax money has had cost. Teams are putting all their eggs in one basket to keep that Supermax guy. It's dried up the salary cap. I don't see it as sustainable long-term.
I agree. You know who else doesn't see it sustainable long-term? NBA owners. Mm-hmm. They don't want it. Look, congratulations to Damian Lillard for signing his Supermax, which will not at all be regrettable for Portland
in the
future.
Here's what should actually happen with the Supermax. In a perfect world, if you're going to continue to have the Supermax, the Supermax should not count for all the money against the cap.
Yeah,
it should
yeah.
count as a regular max contract, but guess what? You get to pay the guy $30 million more, but yeah. It's like it's money that does not count against the cap.
Yeah, he gets the money, but it doesn't cripple your team because it's like it ends up not being a reward and in fact being almost impossible for you know, a team that doesn't have a lot of cash.
But also the answer is no salary caps. Just get rid of them.
Yeah, dude, like it's everything that's happened in the NBA is much more similar to how sports work everywhere else in the world, except, I guess, baseball, mm-hmm. where, you know, even in the NFL, I guess they have franchise tags and that sucks. And they all collude against people whose politics they hate while, you know, supporting crazy, violent criminals. But, the way people were moving around in the NBA, like soccer works exactly like that. Like, you know, where no one has to get that butt hurt. There's just you move around because it's a job, mm-hmm. and you're not like a citizen of the Toronto Raptors. You know,
yeah.
I don't know why I picked the one fourth team in the NBA when I said that. Yeah, it's like
plus, you know what one positive of getting rid of the CBA would be? I mean, not the CBA, but the salary cap. Way less episodes of Dunked On.
Oh my god. Oh, incredible. But I was like you know what, NBA players, you much like a great deal of the NBA and the media were duped by Chris Paul, and that's, you know, that sucks, but also is not unprecedented in recent NBA history.
No.
To be conned by Chris Paul.
Speaking of other peoples with the people with the last name Paul, Rich Paul got fired by Marcus Morris, but not by Nerlens Noel, even though people said Nerlens Noel fired him.
Yeah, apparently what happened was Nerlens Noel like backed out of his deal with the Thunder, and then when he was trying to renegotiate his deal, he was like, just call me. Don't call Clutch Sports anymore. And then after he signed his deal, he went back to Clutch Sports. He never left, I guess. But
weird. I'm sure he got a great deal in renegotiating that with Sam Presti by himself.
You still got a league minimum both times. But all the media food he can eat. So that's what he really wanted.
Marcus Morris, it does feel like something sinister maybe happened here.
Yeah, like every leg of Marcus Morris's journey to the New York Knicks is weird and undefined.
Because
yes,
Marcus Morris apparently turned down a 3-year, $41 million a year deal with the Los Angeles Clippers.
And it's, to me, this sounds like something where, like, I think this is the one where he wanted to fire them, because it seems like a time sensitive thing that he like waited too long for, or his reps were arguing too much about, because it fell through.
That's not my theory.
Well, okay. So what happened when he didn't sign that deal is that the Clippers just took Mo Harkless and a pick into that space instead.
Yeah. Here's my theory. I think Rich Paul turned this down on purpose. Assuming he could get this deal for Marcus Morris somewhere else.
Because he did not want
to make the Los Angeles Clippers. He did not want to help the Clippers over the Lakers.
Oh, his crosstown rivals. So yeah.
His real boss plays for the Los Angeles Lakers.
You're right. And also he was like, Marcus, you love drinking coffee in Los Angeles with your twin brother. It's one of your favorite things. If you play for the Clippers, I will have you banned from every cafe that there is.
But yeah, I have this feeling that maybe Rich Paul told him that he had this same deal somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And that he couldn't sign with the Clippers, and then he could not get Marcus Morris any of that money anywhere else.
Yeah, and then he hired some thugs to intentionally injure Reggie Bullock as punishment for leaving LeBron's Lakers. He failed his physical, and he tried to get a face-saving 1-year, $15 million deal with Marcus
Morris.
Which
is good for Marcus, because Marcus is worth a lot more than that Spurs deal he signed.
Yeah. But he's worth almost exactly that Clippers deal he turned down.
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So great. So is Rich Paul the shadow Lakers GM?
I don't know. Good question. What I want to say, there is another important piece of betrayal here that I'm upset by, though.
Oh, okay.
Markeith, fire Rich Paul. What are you doing?
Yes. Oh, God damn it. Why haven't they gotten a dual twin contract? That's the biggest failing.
Markeith, what are you doing? You got a fire clutch now, too. Like,
yeah, because you guys still just have, like, one bank account that you
Rich
share.
Rich Paul took care of his brother by not letting your brother sign with the Clippers. So you got to, this is some Chicago way stuff. Like, they brought a knife to a gunfight or whatever. You gotta come on, man.
Yeah, bring two guns to a twin fight.
All right, Sean, pick one of these last three stories, and then that's gonna be our show.
Let's just talk about the weird things that Anthony Davis said.
Okay.
And did.
Do any of them include going on the Harry Potter ride?
No, that was a bonus.
Okay.
So he had an interview with Rachel Nichols, which contained a couple of weird things. Now, he's not playing for Team USA during the World Cup, which, you know, fine. I don't really understand why it's a big deal that anyone turns down a national team thing that isn't the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't understand why they would have to play in the Olympics either, frankly.
Yeah, but at least that's like, but like the FIBA World Cup that's in an odd number. Like,
my thing is, look, we've made our point with the basketball players in the Olympics again. Let's just stop going for a while again.
It feels like an arms race, right? Like how? But do you remember how weird the last final was, though?
No.
Okay, so it's. I gotta just look up the score real fast, but
Kevin Durant played like the first 17 minutes of the game straight.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very weird for performance on an all-star team. But the final, they played Serbia. They won the game 96-66. But they had like, what was their lead at halftime? They had a 23-point lead at halftime. They had a 36-point lead at halftime before they took anyone out. But it was just like I don't understand why there's – it was very confusing to me, the whole thing.
Let's send the and one team.
Yeah,
you know, you know what? Even better, let's send the Harlem Globetrotters to the FIBA World Cup. Let's just see what happens. You know what I mean? They'll probably beat us, but you never know.
But that, like, couldn't America rally behind that more rather than like who's even going to be on the?
Let's send the, to, like, all the best big Kyrie three players. Actually, I mean, let's
I'm
do that.
Really get behind Kyrie, but it just feels like a weird event. Like the Olympics are hella corrupt. Like they're like the opposite of the NBA.
Yeah, it's not fun.
I don't even know.
Basketball, but like, send the under-19 team.
But yeah, they're going to be in Tokyo. That seems like it'd be kind of cool. But yeah, exactly. Make it an under-23 thing. That's what they do in soccer.
It's boring. All right. Anyway, back to Anthony Davis.
Yeah. So yeah, he's not playing the World Cup. Who cares? But he said during this interview with Rachel Nichols, he's like, yeah, Rob Pelinka was calling me every half hour during free agency. And Rachel Nichols is like, well, you're exaggerating. And he's like, he literally called me every 30 to 45 minutes to say, what do you think of this guy? And then at one point, Anthony Davis answered the phone and was like, dude, I'm in the movies. Don't call me. So Rob Pelinka is an insecure boyfriend, basically.
Very cool.
And then Rachel Nichols.
When does Linda
like,
Rambis call him?
When she
only at night, right?
Only at night. That's when the shows come out. So yeah, Rob Pelinka called him all the time. Also, Rachel Nichols said, "Do you think you will be a pillar of the Lakers for years and years to come?" And then Anthony Davis said, "Honestly, Rachel, I'm just focused on this season. I don't know what's going to happen. I have 1 year here, so I'm going to make the best of this year. And when that time comes around in the summer, you know, whenever the season's over, already no confidence. Hopefully around, you know, mid-June after we just had a parade and I need a couple days to think, then we can talk about it. But until then, I'm trying to do whatever I can to help this team win this year." You know who sounded like that about 12 months ago, Joey?
Who?
Kevin Durant.
See, I actually disagree with that one. Because this is him saying, I don't want to talk about my contract. Which is actually something Kevin Durant never said.
I guess that's...
Because that's all he's doing is, like, he's saying... This comment is, like... I'm not talking about my contract. Stop asking me. And part of the reason the Warriors were mad at Kevin Durant is because he wouldn't just say that.
He kept talking about his contract.
Yeah, he kept answering the questions.
I'm just saying it. It reminds me of the two coolest guys in the NBA teaming up in Brooklyn this year. What they were saying last summer.
No, because at this point last summer, Kyrie was saying he was going to be a Celtic for life. He made a commercial about it, remember?
I mean,
and
incredible.
Then he started doing all that cocaine. Allegedly.
Why? I mean, who would have thought that a guy like that... Not for like an Illuminati initiation or anything.
Yeah, that's what it was for. You know, he's just expanding his brain space.
Yeah.
Also, he probably doesn't do cocaine. That's a joke, like the Secret Family joke.
Just kidding.
Yeah, JJ Redick does not have a secret family, and Kyrie Irving does not do cocaine.
Yeah, definitely not. No, they don't.
Sean, plug something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the Punchline in San Francisco Tuesday night doing something DNA's. Comedy Lab in Santa Cruz. Lots of basketball stuff on Yardbarker, including a big piece about the Hall of Fame where I reluctantly had to list Joe Johnson as not a future Hall of Famer, which is outvoted. I feel like I've never compromised my principles so much as a journalist as that moment.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting in. He's getting in. Look, I'm not a voter. I'm fine with it, but he's getting in. He's ISO Joe, baby. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the big three MVP. His team's undefeated. Lisa Leslie's his coach. It rules.
And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where, sorry, I got to find a classic one because he's just posting Instagrams now. Get back to Twitter, man.
Fuck. Look, people aren't going to find outrageous olive oil and vinegars.
Where on 9/11/2014, oh. I tweeted, another day, another MRI.
Whoa. 9/11/2014 was his 9/11.
I don't think it was, dude. Oh. I think that was the time the cat left the water on in his house and destroyed his entire house.
That's his 9/11 for sure.
Or that time he was the last person to talk to Dale Earnhardt before he died.
Oh my God.
Did you know that story, right?
Yeah, I do. And I don't know, he's like the stranger.
Yeah. He's like Forrest Gump. But for tragedy. trust the process.
Trust the process.
Shut it down. I'm not Harry fucking Belafonte.
Do you realize that you have the most future first round picks? Do you realize? The Chris Paul's a dick. Do you realize? The crappiness ruins your crowds. Do you realize? The pumped and crowd noise made your arena fake loud. And instead of shooting jerseys with a gun, let Russ know you love him now, for goodness sake. Fracking causes big earthquakes. Realize this isn't your worst fear. It's the thunder moving to Seattle in 5 years. Do you realize? Do you realize that all the players you have were better than Perk? And instead of getting angry at KD, think of how the Harden trade was a bad dream. Bad karma for your stolen team. Realize you've already seen the best. It's inevitable that they move back to the Pacific Northwest. Do you realize that your team is finishing in 14th place. Do you realize? Thank you. This is Wayne Coyne, and I'm about to do some fucking mushrooms.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.